Boker Tov world. Today's daf in Masechet Kedushin, brought to you from Yerushalayim Yerakedesh, is daf Hey. We're holding on to Ayin Tes Amud Beis at the Halakha Mishnah, and we're actually going to get back now into the original central idea, which of course is Yichusin, along with the question of Ne'amonis, which we talked about in terms of Yakir and how far we would extend Yakir. So we're continuing this now to see whether there are other issues, such as various chazakas, or perhaps rov, or miyutz, that we could put together in order to assure a kosher yichus or ne'emanut. So let's imagine a case where Mishi Yatsa Huvi Yishtol Medinat Hayam. So a guy comes from a kosher family, and he went ahead, according to the Shita, that you have to go and check out a woman. He did everything right. He married a woman that had, therefore, cheskes kashras. And he goes overseas with this woman without a family. Years later, he comes back with a family. Ubahu v'ishto uvanav. So he says, well, here is my wife that was checked out before I left. These are my children. Ve'elu baneha. Ein tzarech le'avir ra'ya. Lo hala isha v'lo hala banim. We don't need for him to go through when he claims that this is the same woman that left with him. You say, well, this woman looks like a grandmother, and you married this actress. That doesn't matter. So he says, it's the same woman. And the same thing is true, Lagabe, the children. We're going to see that the assumption is that when you have children that are connected to the mother in terms of their psychology, then we can rely on the fact that they are the children from her. And since she already was defined as Kshera, because we had checked out her yichus with the normal checking out that we had earlier, so as long as they're young children, we're going to see is what it's referring to. He doesn't need to prove that these are her children. Obviously, we can't prove these are her children. They don't have her yichus or his yichus with her. Now, suppose he comes back without a wife, and he says, my wife died when I was overseas, but these are her children. So then he does have to bring a raya that these are the children of that woman. But he does not have to bring any more rayas that that woman was kosher, because she retained the kashrut that she had, which we had already defined at the time that she left. And we don't have to worry about anything else, because we have testimony now about the children. Now, how about if he comes back with another woman? And he said, here's my wife that I married while I was overseas, and these are her children. So then he does have to bring a raya on that woman because she had never been checked out. So we would have to check out her yichus. And again, remember that this is not going according to the shita that says all of them kaimes or becheskes biyuchasim. And he would not have to bring a raya on the children. And again, this is referring on the children that are psychologically connected to her. And that is enough of a raya that they are her children. But suppose he comes back with
I'm
at the fourth case. If he said, I married again, but my second wife died, and these are her children, so then obviously he needs to bring a raya, both ala isha v'ala banim, because we have no idea whose children these are, so it's not going to help very much unless we first know whose children they are, and that brings a raya on that woman, that they are her children. Now, why is it that we don't require any kind of raya? We're saying that the children are assumed to be her children. Why? Because he says so. Omarabba Baravuna, no, not because he says so, but because they're kruchinachareha. They're psychologically connected to her. He said they hold on to her, and they talk to her as a mother, and so on. So we're talking about young children that are always holding on to her apron strings. So that is considered to be itself enough of a chazaka that these are our children. Tana Rabbanu, Ishana Sati B'Mininat HaYam, and indeed, there's a braita that gives us a little more information. He comes back, and this is the woman that I married overseas, you don't know her, and these are our children. So then he does need to bring a raya on Isha, obviously, but he does not need to bring a raya on the bunny. But now, this braisa defines it better, and therefore we see that what Rabba Bar Avuna said is absolutely true. It's only where we have psychological basis for saying that these are her children. Because Mevira Yala Gidolim, even though we just said you don't need to bring a Raya, that's only referring to bringing a Raya on the Ketanim, but he would have to bring a Raya on older children, because how are we going to know that these older children are really the children of this woman? Now, all of what we said over here about these four cases is Dafka, where he said he had one wife when he went to Medinat Hayam or married in Medinat Hayam. But suppose he says that he married two women and one of them died, and the one that is coming back with him is the mother of the children that he's bringing back, then it's not enough to base anything on the psychology. Because over there, it's very possible that their mother died and they became psychologically connected to the woman that's been raising them, who was actually his second wife. And maybe his second wife is not really a kosher Yehus. And he's claiming, in order to get around the problem, that no, it's that the first wife, and that I married overseas, obviously, and that one he has a Raya for. So he's got every reason to lie to us. We have no reason to believe him because of the psychology in this case. And therefore, over here, we will have to bring a Raya in both directions. The children are hers, and she is Kshera. Oh, says Rish Lakish, now look. I mean, what we're saying over here is that we can assume on the basis of the psychological position of the children vis-a-vis this woman that she is a mother. Now, how far would we take that kind of thing? I mean, for what halachas? Says Rish Lakish, well, I mean, obviously we're not going to rely on this across the board just to rely on psychology. I mean, we'll rely on this b'nogea kachei hagvu. So in other words, it was a question. He was a kohen. And we want to give truma to his children. Now, truma called kachei hagvu, because you eat truma anywhere in Eretz Yisrael. You don't have to eat it only in Yerushalayim or HaKadosh. And this, because of that, we're going to rely on this type of chazaka, that these are the children of the woman that we know to be miyuchaset. But binogea, the question of whether you're allowed to marry, let's say, a daughter of this woman that was now psychologically krucha, and that would be mutter in and of itself for a kohen to marry, and that should be proof positive of their yichus, we're not going to rely on that. Because, as you know, says Reish Lakish, we have higher standards when it comes to yichusim. We'll accept this standard of a psychological determination where it's nogea the dinim of achilas truma, but only that, not where it's nogea marriage. Whereas Rabbi Yochanan says, not true. This is across the board. We rely on a chazaka that this is a child of a woman because of the continued behavior that implies on the part of the child that he sees this woman as his mother. Unless, of course, we have the particular case where we have reason to understand that even if she weren't his mother, he would still be Karuch HaKareh, like she might be a stepmother. The answer, Rabbi Yochanan Lata'ami. Now, we know that Rabbi Yochanan elsewhere Paskin, that this type of chazaka, based on this psychology, is so powerful that we would even give an onesh of capital punishment based on it. The Omer Rabbi Chiyo Bar Abba, Omer Rabbi Yochanan, Malkina l'chazakot, we can actually take a person to court, punish him with malkus, and not only that, we could even soklin v'sorfim ala chazakot. We could give him skila. We could give him serefa, even based on such a chazaka. But we will not burn truma on this level of chazaka. Now, we need to understand all of these cases. What is it referring to? Well, malkin ala chazakot, that is a case that was quoted by Rav Yehuda, Yom Rav Yehuda, who seka nida b'shchinoteha. So suppose a woman acts the way that she normally does when she becomes a nida. So they used to have special clothing that they would wear for nidos to make it clear that she's tamea, and that if you have tyrus, you have to make sure that you keep it from her, and her husband should know that she's tamea. And if that was established, then even though we don't have any witnesses that she is a nida, ba'ala lo ke'aleha mishum nida. If, in fact, her husband sleeps with her, we will give him malchus for being over on the lab of not sleeping with Anita. How can we do that? We don't have witnesses that he slept with Anita. We only have witnesses that he slept with his wife and an assumption that she's Anita. That means that we're going to rely on a chazaka in order to give malchus. Now, where do we see that we would also rely on a chazaka in terms of chiyumisa? Sokla v'sorfan al chazakot. That is like the halacha of that Rabbi Baravuna said. The Omer Rabbi Baravuna. Let's say you have an assumption of a family relationship. You have a man and a woman and a child, male child and a female child. Right? We have no idea who these people are. As far as we know, I don't know, maybe they were gypsies or something, picked up the kids from somewhere. But they have been living as a family. I mean, there were crazy cases like this, you know. You remember the case where this guy was actually a missionary and he's been living there as a Jew with his family. I mean, we're talking about Yichusim. This happened very recently. Anyway, but in this case, we have no idea who these people are, you know, and they've been claiming that they're a family, and the family that prays together stays together, but this family goes a little bit beyond praying. They end up sleeping with each other. So in that case, they would be niskalim ze'al ze'. Minisrafim ze'alze. So let's say the little boy who grows up now sleeps with this woman, and you know, he says, "This ain't my mother." You know, this is that we've been a gypsy family the whole time. That doesn't matter. We will, because of the assumption over the years that these are a family. So then, if he actually sleeps with that mother, so then both of them are going to be niskolin. Or if the man who claims he's not related to these people sleeps with a little girl who grows up, now he will also, on that basis, be chayev sreifa for sleeping with his daughter. Well, how do you know that it's his daughter? You see that based on the chazaka, says Rabbi Baravuna, we will actually carry out a chiyuv misa. And there was such a maisa. Omrei Shimon ben Pasi, Omrei Yishum and Levi Yishum bar Kapara. There was a maisa like this. A woman came to Yerushalayim, and she was carrying this kid on her shoulders, and she was raising him all the years, and the assumption was that she was raising him as his mother. And in the end, they were sleeping with each other. It's not because we have absolute testimony that this is her son. Because when he was a little child, he was psychologically attached to her in this way of Koruch HaChareah. So you see that this Chazak of Koruch HaChareah, as Rabbi Yochanan said, it is sufficient to give an absolute presumption of a relationship. And that means that the Chazaka goes across the board. But, says Rabbi Yochanan, Ein Sorfim Truma HaChazakot. So what is that referring to? Ah, so here the Maisa is that there's a machlokis between Resh Lakish, Dom Reb Shimon Malakish, Sorfim al HaChazakot, Rabbi Yochanan Omer, Ein Sorfim al HaChazakot. Now, this was actually based on an understanding of the Mishnah in Taharas. So the Mishnah says, the Tanat, Tinok Shenimtza Betzad Ha'isa U'Batzek Biyado. So we've got a child, a toddler, and we find him standing next to a dough, which could be Makabal Tuma. And he's got a little piece of dough in his hand. It looks very suspicious to me. Where did he get that dough from? Now, of course, it is possible that some kindly adult passed by and said, "Oh, little boy, you're looking so longingly at that dough. Maybe I'll give you a piece of dough." And this man was completely tahor, and there's no problem. He sticks his hand in the dough, and he gives it to, yes, that's a possibility. But it's not such a great possibility. Because more likely is we should assume that the child touched the dough. Do I have a machlokas in the Mishnah where Rabbi Meir says the dough is tahor? We're going to see why. Whereas the Chachamim say, no, it's tameh. Children are always touching things. Now, what's interesting is, you know, that the word tipuach is a lashon that we usually use for dough, mitapchim ala yisa, right? Okay, so we have a very fascinating machlokas here between Rashi and Tosfos. What type of chazak are we talking about? The kid. Rashi understands that the derech shel tinok letapeach means that kids are always touching everything. You know, they put their hands in the garbage pail, and in the garbage pail there's likely to be various things that have been dumped there that are tamei, like somebody stepped on a lizard and threw it into the garbage pail, and now he touched it. And, you know, so it's probable that the child is tamei, and since he's standing next to the dough, so we're assuming that he was the one that had actually detached the dough that he's eating, right? But Tosfos says no. That what it's referring to over here is a question of whether the child was the one who touched the dough, or whether somebody gave it to him. The child is definitely tummy. Why is the child definitely tummy? Because every woman who walks by picks up the child, oh, this is a cutie pie, you know, but, I mean, half of those women are nidays, right? So the kid is definitely, I mean, nobody threw him into the mikvah this morning, that's for sure. So this toddler is 100% tummy. That's not our question. The only question is, did he touch the dough? Well, since darker shel tinok letapeach, meaning in the dough, not in the garbage pail, so therefore, we are going to be metamei according to the Chachamim. Okay. Now, the reason that this is nogea us over here, we asked over there in about this Mishnah, we asked what is actually the reason that Rebbe Meir says that it's considered to be Torah. I mean, isn't it true that it is the derech for a child to be touching things? Because, says Rabbi Meir, I'll tell you why. Kasava rovtinoto mitapchim, umiut ein mitapchim. It's true. Most children would be the ones who are touching things. There are some children that like a little bit more restraint. So they don't touch everything in sight. Now, the question is whether that miut is considered to be a meaningful miut. Remember, we're used to thinking that Rabbi Meir is very machmir because he's chashin and lemiuta, right? And he takes a miut seriously. We've had many cases where, according to Rabbi Meir, you still need to worry about certain halachas that are determined al pirov because a miut is also something that we need to be chayish for. But the opposite is also true. It can turn out that that makes Rabbi Meir lakula. Why? Because according to those who don't think about a miut, the miut basically ceases to figure in any of our halachic considerations because it's batel and came the case of the rov. But Rabbi Meir holds a miut is never batel to a rov, so therefore it exists as an additional element that needs to be considered. Now, if there's another reason that you could put together with the miut, then you may have reasons to paskin otherwise, and in this case you do. What is that? Because the Isa is b'cheskat tahara, says Rabbi Meir. So the dough started off definitely being tahar. So that means that we have a miut and a chazaka that point in the same direction of this dough being tahar. And therefore, that weakens the rov tinokot, because against it we have both the chazaka of the Isa and the miut. Masha enken, according to Chachomi, Rabbanan, miuta kamanda lesse domi. There is no miut. Once there is a rov, then that defines what happened to us. So all we're left with is a rov tinokot is going to tell us that the Isa is tummy, and a chazaka on the Isa is going to tell us that the Isa is tahar. And since what that means is, put your ruba the chazaka, ruba adif. Another gavi rule, ruba the chazaka, ruba adif. So if you've got a situation where you've got a straight out question of pitting a rov against the chazaka, then you go according to the rov. And since over here the rov is the rov tidokot that are going to be metame the isa, then we have to ignore the chazaka. Now, Reish Lakish says, and here's where we get into the issue of the sreifa satruma on the basis of a chazaka. Om Reish Lakish, Mishum Rabbi Oshaya, Zoe Shasorfinalea etatruma. Now, this is what we're talking about. When we have a chazaka, then we are going to burn truma on the basis of such a chazaka, meaning we're going to be mazik, even though it's not 100%. We're saying that since, generally speaking, yes, the little toddler is going to be touching things. That is a strong enough assumption that we will actually consider it to be a rov, to be a vadai, and we will burn truma based on it. Whereas Rabbi Yochanan Omer, no, ein zu chazaka shesorfin ha'satruma, we cannot burn it on this basis. All that it means over here when it says the Isa is tamei, that doesn't mean it's tamei to burn. It means it's tamei to be usher to eat. But remember, you're not allowed to burn truma and kachim unless you're 100% that it has to be burned. And that's mishmera trumotai. So because of that, says Rabbi Yochanan, why would we burn it? But note his language. Ein zo chazaka shesofer al ha-truma. This is not the type of chazaka that we would burn truma, which implies that there is a case, alibi Rabbi Yochanan, where we will burn truma. And what is that case? Yeah, la ezo chazaka lo Rabbi Yochanan shekein sorfin al ha-truma. Ah, that is like we find in a braita, even though it says kidetanan, it is not a mishnah, but we saw that Tosfos says that there's places where we use the word kidetanan, so we don't necessarily have to change the girsa, although there are those who change the girsa. But anyway, we have a braita that says that if you have a dough that's in the house and shrotzim utzvardeim mitaplim sham, and we have over there cases where you've got things that are tamei as a sheretz, so maybe you have a lizard, and you also have frogs that are there. Now, you know, the lizard may break off a tail or whatever, but a froggy that got stepped on and something, that's not going to be metame, because even though frogs you think are shrotzim, but they're not one of the shmona shrotzim. Therefore, they're not metame. And you don't know which one is which. Now, you find, when you do the Federal Food and Drug Administration checks out the Isa in your house, they find insect and shrotzim fragments in it. Aha. So now what are those fragments? Well, I don't know. I mean, maybe it's a piece of lizard. Maybe it's a piece of froggy. I don't know what it is, right? So if you find chatichot b'isa, so if most of the kind of things that crawl around and drop pieces in the house are from shrotzim, then it's tamei. But if most of the things in the house are froggies, then it's Torah. And in that case, Rabbi Yochanan is moda, that if you have a chazaka based on that, that the Isa is tameh, that then you would burn the Isa. Now remember that we have two very different concepts of rov. And again, this is something I think Avi made clear in the past. We have what's called aruba de ite kaman and aruba de lete kaman. Now, aruba de ite kaman is a case where we're defining things based on what is in front of us. That's ite kaman. It's right there in front of us. And we're going to take the chances in the current situation based on the likelihood of the greater number of pieces being the piece that we're looking at here in the dough, right? That is a straightforward rov, which Rabbi Yochanan says, of course you'll burn truma on that. For heaven's sakes, we're ready to kill people on the basis of a chazaka. But what about aruba de lete kaman? Aruba de lete kaman is a statistical prediction. And that is, most kids poke their fingers where they don't belong. Okay. I mean, that's not really based on anything but a prediction that's based on an overall analysis of the way things in general proceed. But it does not have the same validity as aruba de ite kaman. In fact, the Gemara in Chulin talks about the difference between one which is learned out of Sanhedrin, that we go according to the Rov Deus and in front of us and questions, how do we know the dinam of aruba de ite kaman? In any event, that is the distinction that is being made over years. Rabbi Yochanan is ready to say that we will, of course, be semich on a chazaka if it's something that is right here in front of us and based on that kind of rov. But he argues with Reish Lakish about aruba de lete kaman. And we find that actually there's a braita that says that Rabbi Yochanan is correct, and that when the Chachamim said, we're assuming that the dough is tameh, all it means is that you're not allowed to eat the dough, but it doesn't mean you're allowed to burn the dough, because Tanya Kavasi de Rabbi Yochanan, Shnei Dvarim, Ein Bahem Da'at Lishael, Ve'asa'um Chachamim, Ki'ilu, or Kumo, So remember, we learned before, and many, many times, the halacha from Seita, the tremendous chiddush that a tzafik tuma b'rishut ha-yachid is tameh, and it's tameh vada, it's not just tameh as a suffix. It won't be tolen, it will be surfing. And then halacha, that Safek Tumah Brishus Hayochid is Tamei Vadai, and Safek Tumah Brishus Rabbim Mitzad, as that kind of Safek is Tohar Vadai, needs to be similar to the case of Sota. Now, in the case of Sota, you're talking about two adult humans who can be questioned as to what happened, right? Did you sleep with this woman? Did you not sleep with this woman? The question is, therefore, can we derive from the fact that the Torah is ready to accept that Safek Tumah in the stira of an Isha that asers her on her husband, does that mean that in a case where we have a doubt, but there's nobody to talk to? So if what you've got over here is a baby, then how are you going to find out? There's no one to talk to. That's called Ein Bo Da'at Lishael. Since it's Ein Bo Da'at Lishael, it is not similar to the case of the Nida. And therefore, we should consider something to be Tahor Mitzad HaSafek, even in a Rishut HaYachid, if Ein Bo Da'at Lishael. And yet, the Chachomim said that we look at it as if it's a standard type of Safek, and we're going to be machmir to view it as a vadai. And what are those two cases? The case that we're talking about over here, the case of Tinok, and the case of another case that we're going to get to. What is that case after the Tinok? Well, the Tinok is Hadiamoran, we just said. But even though this child cannot be questioned, and nonetheless, we're going to be treating the Safek Tumah Brishut HaYachid. So we're going to be talking as if it's one of the Sfeikas Tumah that we learned from Saita, which it shouldn't be. The Yoda Cheret Mai, what's the other case? The other case is a similar kind of situation. And that is, you've got a doe. And again, the question is, we're talking about Truma over here, obviously. So you've got a doe, and you've got a chicken in the house. And the house also has a watering bowl. You know, the chickens can take a little drink out of the watering bowl. The water in the bowl is mashkim tmeim. I mean, it wasn't a kind of house where they're makbet to feed the chickens, only Tyrus of Chulin in Eretz Yisrael, you know. So the chickens were allowed to eat even tmei water. Now the problem is that there are chicken pecks, in the dough. One of those little holes in the dough. That chicken, obviously, is trying to get some of this dough. So then, if you've got these peck marks all over the dough, so then we do not burn the dough, but we don't eat the dough. So tolin, lo ochlin, lo surfim, because we're afraid. The chicken took a little drink, still had a bit of water that was tummy on the beak, and then the moment that it touched the dough, so then the dough became tummy. Now, most of the chickens that we know do not know how to answer the question of, now, did you peck that dough with your mouth wet? They just do not give you a proper answer. And nonetheless, we say that, well, we're going to treat it as if it's a real Safek Tumah. Now, what does this have to do with us? Everything. Because if we put these two cases together, and we're saying that the case of the Tinok is the same as the case of the chicken. So then, just like we explained that when we're talking about the case of the chicken, it says, Beferish tolin lo ochlim velo sorfim. So that means that these two cases are equivalent in terms of how we view the Safek. And that's exactly what it was that Rabbi Yochanan said, that the case of the child with the dough is not about burning the truma. It's about being tailored to truma and not being allowed to eat it. On Rabbi Shubin Levi, by the way, I mean, if you're wondering about this whole story, the only time that we say this is where you have clear liquid. So it's possible that the chickens actually did drink and then peck, and there would be no indication in the dough that they did so. But what if you've got colored liquids? So you've got this red liquid. Well, how come there's no red on the dough if there was actually liquid at the time that the chicken was pecking into the dough? So then, if I don't see anything red, then why would I be machmir? Well, I mean, how do you know that? I mean, there's definitely going to be some kind of dilution, isn't there? I mean, the dough is not like a solid thing. So you have this red liquid sitting on top of it. Ultimately, it's going to mix with the liquids in the dough and would become invisible over time, no? Omer Rabbi Yochanan. Oh, man. Apparently, Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, who was talking about this, did not hear the whole explanation. So, Dover says Shama Baribi, but Pirusholo Shama. So, the Gadol Hador was referring over to Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi. He heard that, and he was giving over to us about the differences between liquids, but since he didn't explain that there's an additional element that we need to take into consideration, he apparently did not hear the explanation that was attached to this din in the first place. Because the way we learned it, we were mekabel it, is that the difference is not only in terms of the coloration, but it also is in terms of the vicosity. So loshon al b'mashkim tzilulim, that where do we say that it's considered to be tamei, even where you're talking about coloration, that's where you just have a clear red colored water. So over there, you're absolutely right. We have no way of knowing that it wasn't absorbed, and it's so clear. Shabavua shel tinok nikarba. So you can actually see a facial image in the liquid because there's no turbidity. But if the liquid is turbid, so then mashkin akurim lo. In that case, we wouldn't worry about it at all, because there, 100%, there would have been a little bit of red that would have been left on it, and therefore it would not have been tummy. Okay, that concludes the sugya that we've had of the chusim, but opens up the last issue that we're going to be talking about, which is the iser of yichud, which of course is obviously nogia yichusim in a roundabout way. So lo yitachid ad, oh, sorry. Oh, Sir Richard. Excellent. Lo yitachid adam im shtei nashim. So you cannot have a man alone, even if there are two women there. Because since we say nashim da'atan kalot, so it's easy for him to end up seducing both of them, and therefore, one is not going to be able to watch the other. Aval isha achat mityachadet im shnei anashim. If there's two men there who will see our ksherim and not prutzim, so then each one of them is going to be a little bit put off by the presence of the other one, and is not going to try to seduce this woman. Rabbi Shimon on there? No, actually, there are cases where you're allowed to be alone with two women, but that's only when your wife is around. Oh, boy. He ain't going to do no hanky-panky with his wife around. And if that's the case, if his wife is with him, so let's say even if they're taking a trip together, you can even sleep in the same hotel room. Don't think that anybody normal is going to rely on the fact, she's breathing normally, she's fast asleep. Now's the time for me to make on with this other woman. Believe me, she'll pop up like one of those Egyptian mummies in the movies if you start up with that other woman. So therefore, she is considered to be Meshamarto, even if she's sleeping. We have another halacha, which has to do with the norms of attraction. So we say, in cases where normally people are not driven to have sexual relations with their mother or with their daughter, there's no iser of yichud in those cases. What's more, you could even sleep naked next to each other. So a son can be next to a mother, a daughter can be next to a father, as long as they're still not sexually aware, as we'll see. The imigdilu, which the Gemara will define, once they're grown, so then they can still sleep in the same bed, but they sleep in their pajamas. So yeshena b'ksuta, v'zeh yeshen b'ksuto. So why is this? My time, why do we say that, and when it comes to a man with two women, that that's usher? But one woman is okay to be mityachedet with two men. Tone devei Eliyahu, huyov anashim naitan kalot aleihem. It's easy to get women to be seduced. You know, Animile, where does this whole thing come from? Where does it say in the Torah that we're supposed to, ad kedekach, we have to be makbid to make a iser of yichud, and that you're not even allowed to be together? Omrem yochan mishum rabbi Yishmael, remez li yichud ben atorah minayin. Where do we have an indication that there is also an iser of yichud? Well, we have a fascinating pasuk. The pasuk is talking about a mesit. A mesit is somebody who's going to persuade you to do avodas kechavim. So it says over there, and as we've pointed out many times, it's not accidental that we always put together the issues of avodah zarah with the issues of arayas, because both of them are called znuts. So it would be a likely place to actually find a remez to the inyonim of yichud in terms of erva. So it says over there, ki yisitcha achicha ben imecha, o vincha, o bitcha, o eshet chekecha, o reacha asher kenafshecha, baseter, limor, nelcha venavda lohim achirim, asher lo yadata, ata veavotecha. Now, okay, I understand that the Pasuk is giving us examples of people that you would feel very close to, and you wouldn't want to turn them in or to have them killed for being mesitim. And therefore, the Torah is giving you, listen, I don't care how close they are to you, if they try to seduce you in the direction of doing avodah zarah, you know, have no mercy on them. Okay, but why in the world does it say, v'chi yasitcha achicha ben imecha? Now, that's really weird. Your brother from a common mother? I mean, and what, a brother from a father is not going to be mesit you? Like, what is that supposed to mean? V'chi ben emesit, ben ave no mesit? Why the brother of your maternal brother? What does that mean? Ela lomar lecha, what it's coming to tell me is exactly this, that a ben is allowed to be alone with his mother, but asur lehityached im kol arayot shebat Torah. So let's say there would be an iser for a son to be alone with his mother, right? So the only time that there would be a time that he would be with his mother would only be when the father was there, because it would be usher to be alone with her. So what would happen in a case if the mother got married to another guy and his father died or was divorced? He would rarely see her because he wouldn't be allowed to be alone with her. And she's not going to go in there with her second husband, right? And therefore, when she has children with her second husband, they're going to barely know this kid from her first marriage. So, I mean, why would he be in a position to talk to any of his brothers, half-brothers from her? Why would he be in a position to be close to them psychologically and to be able to persuade them to go into be Oved Avodah Zarah? Therefore, says the Torah, that's exactly the point. You are allowed to be with those brothers. Why? Because she's your mother. And therefore, there's no problem. And otherwise, there is a problem? Yep. Aha! So that tells us exactly this din of yichud, right? So a child is allowed to be alone with his mother. And I need a special pasuk to tell me that, which is this pasuk of Yisitcha Chicha Ben Imecha. And otherwise, if there were other isurim involved, then that would be usur. Okay, I mean, look, you know, if you're a Talmud Chacham, you'll accept that pshat in the pasuk. But I mean, what does it mean? You know, it's got to mean something to the man in the street. What's the pshat in the pasuk? So pashte dekro b'mayk siv. What is the it's so weird. Why would the pasuk say that? Because Amar Abaye, you know, the pasuk is actually saying it as a lomi boy. In other words, look. Obviously, if you've got a brother from the same father, now, there's always competition between brothers of the same father. Why? Because they both stand in line to inherit him. So that means that there's a very profound sense of competition from the beginning. All right, so who is the real son? May he stand up. You know? But when it comes to the mother, now because of that, they often get into fights. And therefore, not only would the case be in a ben-av, where over there, you don't like him usually, And therefore, okay, I understand that you're not going to trust him because I etzleit sodraot. You know, he's going to give you bad ideas. Why should I listen to you, you jerk? I know you hate my guts. So you'd rather I do avodah zarah and get shot so you can have all the money, you know? So not only that case, that's a given that I shouldn't listen to such a thing. Elafilu ben aim, telusani leit. There's a real competition between mothers, because generally speaking, anyway, if a mother dies, the husband inherits it, and there's not that much money if a mother dies. So maybe over there you would think, listen, this is somebody who loves me, cares for me, you know, if he's telling me something, maybe I should pay attention. Kamash Malon, that's the simple meaning of the pasuk. Okay, but getting back to our Mishnah. Now, by the way, there's a big question over here whether this is actually considered to be, when we say from the pasuk, does that mean that it's a real Isser D'Oraisa, and that the Isser of Yichud is Mamish at D'Oraisa? Wow, I mean, that's pretty amazing. And actually, the Ramban says that that's the case in the Sefer HaMitzvahs. But the Ramban says, Beferish, that the entire thing is just an Asmach to be Alma, and as the Gemara itself says, but what's the Pashtus of the Pasuk? And therefore, what we're looking at is Asmach to the Din of Yichud is a D'Rabban. But anyway, the Mishnah said that you're not allowed to be alone with two women. Now, that seems to be against the Shita of Abba Shaul. So, name of my season, Deloka Abba Shaul. You know, once upon a time, Gavi would take us there. And, The Tanya. Kol Shloshim Yom Yotze Bechek. So, we have a Braisa, because according to Abba Shaul, apparently there's no problem in a woman being alone with two men. Here we're talking about the Dinim of Avelut. And we're talking about a child who dies within 30 days of birth, and therefore it's considered to be a nephel. If it's considered to be a nephel, it does not have the normal dinim of the Kovod HaMeis and the fact that everybody has to go out to be malavim. Simply the mother can carry out the dead baby and go out there with two men with her to the Beit HaKvarot, and you don't need a big levaya and flashing lights or anything like that. But she can't go out with a friend and with a man. That not. V'nikpar b'isha achad, shnei anashim, avalo b'isha achad, shnei anashim, which is consistent with our Mishnah. The problem is that Abba Shaul Omer, no, she can even, if there's two women, there's one man to be there, to, you know, to protect them and so on, that's fine. So in other words, Abba Shaul is saying that Yichud is okay with one man and two women. No, says the Gemara, you cannot compare the situation. Afilu tema Abba Shaul. It may well be that Abba Shaul's case is unique because it's bishat aninut tevir yitzrei. When the person is in a matzav of aninut, right? You're going out to bury a baby. I mean, so maybe in the case of the Mishnah, I mean, you're in a hotel, I mean, whatever. Obviously over there it's a problem. But when you're going out to bury a baby, I mean, there, the Yetzirah, it's not going to be so strong that you're going to go sleep. This guy's going to sleep and seduce these two women. It's just not reasonable. So the Rabbanan say, yeah, like heck, it's not reasonable. Savor like Reb Yitzchak. The Omer Reb Yitzchak. What's the meaning of the pasuk? Mayit onen adam chai, gever al chata'av. Look at the word aninut, amayit onen. This means that even b'sha'at aninuto shel adam, a person is in mourning. Yitzro mitgaber alav, gever al chata'av. So therefore, you think that it's going to help you just to be in a state of aninut? As long as you're still breathing, you're still going to have gever al chata'av. And therefore, do not assume that that's a reason to rely on the fact that you're not going to seduce these women. So, okay, that's an interesting one. How does he understand the pasuk of mayitonein adam chai? Abba Shaul, he holds that it's not true, and that we are actually not choshesh, as we normally would for the Yetzirah at Aninut. So he says that pasuk is talking about a guy who is bitching about life. Mitraim amidotav. And, you know, look at my situation, you know, this is terrible, why is my life working out like this? And what it's saying is, what, you got a problem? What are you complaining about? Man, you're so lucky. What, tell me something. Did you ever fight your Yetzirah? You deserve every lousy thing you get. You should be happy that you're still alive. So you're alive? Mayitonein adam chai. You're alive? Whoa. You should be thanking me, not complaining. Dayo chayim shenatati lo. It's not enough for him that I allowed him to live. He has the chutzpah to complain? Anyway, that's how he understands the pasuk. Okay. So now the question is, if that is true, and it sounds really good. I mean, that's a beautiful shot in the pasuk. This is the pasuk, right? So why did the Chachamim actually say that we're sure that it's still Otzer even B'Sha'at Aninut? Say, the Rabbanan, the truth is, we would not have answered it. We would have agreed to Abba Shaul, and we would have agreed to the explanation of Abba Shaul of the pasuk, except that, unfortunately, now we know better. Okay. So what we're really afraid of is not an actual case of going out to burying a baby. We're talking about pretending that you're burying a baby. Now, there was a Maisa once where this woman goes out crying, carrying a baby in her arms. The baby was perfectly alive, you understand. And she's going out to bury her baby, going out there with people. And the only reason she was going out there with people was to have a good night with them while the baby happily sleeps. And therefore, since that kind of thing happens, therefore we made the gezerah of Yichud ben Enoch Hinam. It was not because of the chashash in an actual levaya that that's going to happen. Okay, so then the Mishnah said, but one woman could be alone with two men. Omar Rav Yehuda, Omar Rav, two men. What kind of men? Lo shano ela b'ksheirim. You're talking about people that are makbid on this kind of thing. I mean, you're talking about prutzim. I mean, you can have 10 people there. Why would they hesitate to have a mass orgy? And it was actually a maisa, where they pretended that a woman had died, put her in one of these, you know, hearses, and they're carrying her out. Everybody's crying and sniffling into their handkerchiefs. As soon as they get out, out pops the woman like one of these Arabs that was supposedly just shot, you know, out pops the woman from the hearse. And out come the boys, and they spend the rest of the night. So that was a maisur hotziu asara b'mita, and therefore you cannot trust 10 men with a woman. Amar Rav Yosef Teda. Look, it's obvious that people are not embarrassed from each other, because, I mean, have you never heard of a very heavy piece of machinery just disappearing from a yard? Now, who carried that away? How many people did it take to carry it away, huh? So it's clear, and here the case would be a roof beam that needs 10 people to carry it. Well, they somehow got together and they carried it, so it's obviously not too difficult. So teda, the mechabri be'asar, you get 10 people together to steal something, v'gan mikashura, and they're not embarrassed. But let's say from the Mishnah in Seita that we see clearly that this is the halacha, that you need 2 people, because it says in the Mishnah, if you'll recall, that you send along 2 Talmidei Chachamim to go along with the man and the woman on their way to Yerushalayim. Why do we need 2 Talmidei Chachamim? Because we're afraid that the husband may sleep with her on the way to the Bedikah of the Seita. And once the husband sleeps with her, then the water is not going to work, because it's only if he's Menukeh Miavon that we're able to use the Mayim Ma'orim. So why does it say you need 2 Talmidei Chachamim, huh? Because we don't trust 2 regular people. That's the point. So you see that this halacha is absolutely correct. Where do we say you could be alone with 2 people? That's only if they're cheirin. That's why we send along Talmidei Chachamim. But we're not going to send just a guy we don't know anything about. In Shedei Amalo, says the Gemara, that's not why. And you know that's why. Maybe the reason we need to send 2 Talmidei Chachamim is because they are able to explain to the guy that he's not able to sleep with her, because the halacha is that then the mayim is not going to be able to be baidikar, and then this is the wrong thing to do. And it's big. The whole point is that he wanted to make sure that his wife is shared to him, and now he's going to destroy it. And so with their chachma, they'll be able to talk to the guy. We can't just bring someone along to make him embarrassed to sleep with his wife. That's not the point. Okay, Rabbosai. Excellent. We'll continue some of the Dinim of Yichud tomorrow. Meanwhile, wishing you a day of Besuras Teves, Yeshuas, and Nechames, a day in which HaKadosh Baruch Hu will be your Shia, Zamecha, Tevorech es nachal asecha, re'im v'nasim, ad olam.